From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour, and we're pleased and honored to be joined by Father George Snyder, the pastor at St. Clair Parish in Roseville. Father, good morning.
Good morning, Bob, and to all your listeners. Blessed, beautiful day.
Yes, indeed. It's always a beautiful day here in Sacramento Diocese.
Yes, yes.
You're the relic man in this diocese.
Well, I like to take care of the holy ones.
Yes.
So I can be one of them someday. That's the goal.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And you've told me you have that in your background, don't you?
Yes. Yeah, I'm excited. We're preparing for the celebration of All Saints and All Souls.
Right.
And we're all connected to the communion of saints, of course. And this is an opportunity to invite people and to learn about the lives of the saints and their role in our lives as baptized Christians.
Yeah, All Saints, of course, November 1st. All Souls, November 2nd.
Yes, yes.
Yes, so tell us about what people can participate in.
Yes, I'm very excited about this because I put together all the relics that, of course, that belongs to the Diocese of Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
It was brought here in boxes, and it's quite a bit. And some of the other relics I obtained from Rome way back during the time of John Paul II. And this is hundreds and hundreds of first-class relics, and some are second-class, with full documentations from Rome. And, of course, some of them are from the diocese since the early 1800s.
Wow.
That we use to process when we're building churches for
mm-hmm.
the altars.
Mm-hmm.
And now I put them together in a very organized way and catalog them, and I put all these old certificates in a binder that is protected now, and have copies of them just in case the
mm-hmm.
The acid destroys the original. And however, the relics will be in reliquaries in glass containers, and there are hundreds of them that will be on public display at St. Clair Catholic Church here in Roseville.
And is there a period of time that you're going to display
yes,
them?
Or? Yes, it will start after all masses, of course, beginning November 1st.
Okay.
Friday, after the 8:30 a.m. Mass, we will have a viewing, of course, of displays and veneration. And then, of course, we will have, again, 6:30 p.m. Mass. We will open the exhibit right after the 6:30 p.m. Mass Friday. Saturday and Sunday, we're going to open it all day,
mm-hmm.
8:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, November 2nd and November 3rd.
What's the start time again?
Okay, Friday.
No, I mean on Saturday, Sunday.
Saturday, 8:30 a.m.
Okay. Yeah.
And until 9 p.m.
Perfect.
Both Saturday, November 2nd, and Sunday, November 3rd, from 8:30 to 9 p.m.
Very good. Very
well,
good.
It's easy to remember. After Masses, of course, I will be there to give a talk and to show them all the ancient relics, including the 12 apostles.
Mm.
This is amazing because we have a document for the relics of the 12 apostles.
Wow.
Yes, and that was one of the oldest ones. And we have a document also with the relic of the true cross that we obtained in the 1800s in our archives. And then, of course, from the first century saints all the way to modern saints like John Paul II and Saint Faustina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just obtained that from Cardinal Jewicz from Poland. It was brought to us by Jenny Mary when she visited there at the request of our bishop. we obtained a substantial relic of John Paul, blood relic, and so was Faustina of Divine Mercy.
So these will not be traveling relics. These are ones that are, will be permanently here.
Well, it's the goal to travel them, to evangelize and catechize mm-hmm. our people, but it requires a lot of work
mm-hmm.
and transport, and you're talking about delicate stuff.
Right.
And for me, to prepare this for the first time of viewing, it's in process. So we'll see if we can put together a committee, and also that's the goal. This is a diocesan ownership, and I'm just the custodian, and it's a good way to really put them to use, to educate and catechize the people about the role of the saints and the universal call to holiness, to learn about their ordinary lives with the same struggles that we all have and weakness, but the grace of God prevail in their lives through their cooperation. So,
Father, explain about what a relic is and the Catholic belief, et cetera, about that.
Well, this has been our tradition. It's rooted back, you know, all the way in the Old Testament. And when you read 2 Kings, it's all in there with when Elisha picked up the mantle of Elijah after Elijah had been taken up to heaven in a whirlwind.
Mm-hmm.
When Elisha struck the water from the Jordan, it parted. And all of those elements of holiness of people from Elijah, Elisha, and also in the New Testament, of Saint Paul, and when Stephen was martyred, his body was taken also, and from the early on, they celebrated mass in the tomb of the known martyrs in Rome and mm-hmm. the catacombs. So after the Christianity was legalized in 312, those relics were brought into the church. That's why when the church is dedicated, the altar is dedicated with the blessing of the altar, dedication, consecration, and they put a relic there. And that's mm-hmm. why the priest kiss the altar at the beginning of the mass to venerate the relic,
right.
And that has been our tradition. And many miracles attributed to it. And Saint Augustine, in the City of God, wrote. Many of that account as well. So this is pretty much the use of them.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, we don't worship.
Right.
We venerate and we...
Explain the difference between those two terms, worship and venerate.
Well, the worship is only rendered to God.
Right.
It's called latria.
Right.
Which is rendered to God alone. And the saints are called... Dalia or Dulia, which is a veneration, a
mm-hmm.
high honor,
mm-hmm.
a high honor of someone who gave us such a modeling of holiness, and also we learn from their struggles in lives and the sins that they have committed, and how they were transformed by God. So it gives us hope. All of us are invited to walk with the saints, and that's why in the church canon law, it's the universal call to holiness. Our baptism gives us that kind of invitation that we are all called to holiness, not just priests, not just religious, it's everyone. Yeah. So the relics are divided into three classes. First
mm-hmm.
class are the body of the saints, you know, body of the saints, their bones and all of that. And then second class, things that they use, their clothing, all of these things. And the third class is when you touch a medal or a rosary to a first or second class, it becomes third
mm-hmm.
class.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like the metaphysics of
right.
of how we we from Latria of adoration of the Lord, and then the Dalia is for the saints of veneration, and then our Blessed Mother, we called it Hyperdulia, which is a little bit above that honor, because she's the queen of all the saints.
Right.
And then, of course, the classes is pretty much just the metaphysical way to explain them. But the whole message of them is for us to know our communion with them. These are ordinary people like you and me, but they allow the grace of God through their cooperation to get to heaven. So,
yeah, people will ask me, well, why do you have all these saints in the Catholic Church? And you go, well, they're wonderful. I mean, there's some wonderful books on individual saints, and there's some wonderful books that go through a great number of saints and just give you a little brief bio on each one. And I find them very inspiring. Once in a while, I find them almost discouraging, because I go, wow, I don't know if I could live up to that.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, when I'm visiting a non-Catholic family, when they start showing me all their pictures of their great-grandparents on the wall, and they have stories to tell about it, you know, it's similar for us. When we remember our loved ones, we look at their pictures, and sometimes our family members have special things that belongs to them. I still have my great-grandmother's miraculous medal, and that is special to me, because that was passed on to me by my grandmother. So I hold that sacred and important, and it reminds me of who I am and the transmission of our Catholic faith. So, things of that nature, even, my mom showed me my first shoes when I was a baby, and she coated it with kind of a thing, and it's in a case. I guess, Mom, I said, if I become a saint, that will be a relic. So things of that nature, it connects us to the family. And then in this terms of the saints, it is communion, our communion. We're one big family. So we're not just an individual individuality between just the practice of the faith. It's collective. It's a communion that we all participate into. That's why I said, you don't go to heaven alone. You bring your loved ones with you when you go to heaven. When St. Thérèse of Lisieux became a saint, now look, the mom and dad, Sillé and Louis Martin, was also canonized, that entire family. You don't go to heaven alone. You bring your loved ones. You bring all your friends.
Yes.
Bring everybody. And John Paul's mom and dad is now also on their way to follow his sainthood.
Very interesting.
Yeah. And then, of course, John Paul, I met him when I was a seminarian, and he touched my forehead, so I'm a second-class relic, too.
Wow. So if I touch your forehead, I got a third class relic.
Third class relic.
There we go.
No charge.
No charge. That's great.
Yeah, it's just a beautiful, inspiring things, I have met John Paul II and Mother Teresa when I was
a
boy, and now they are saints.
That's remarkable.
And then I look at my picture with them, and I said, I always pray, I'm sure that they'll take me to heaven, but I have to do the work, though.
Yeah,
we have to do the work.
Boy, that's quite an honor to have met both of them.
Yeah, but I'm not going to put that on display, because I don't want people to see the part. But yes, it's on my Facebook. And that beautiful modern saints that we can all relate, saints that we have seen, and we've known their struggle and difficulties. And their lives, and now they are elevated to the sainthood. So.
Father, is there any of these relics that you're I can tell you're excited about all of them, but that you'd really like to share just a couple of them that.
Yeah, the latest one we got. You know, when you're going to ask me who's my favorite saint?
Yeah.
well, we have lots of John Paul II. Cardinal Gibbish even wrote a letter for the diocese and the Sisters of St. Faustina. But one thing that is close to my heart is St. Bernadette.
Uh-huh.
We got a piece of her huge habit, and that will be on display, and because her body is incorrupt. And that will be on display, of course, and it's also St. John Marie Vianney.
Sure.
You know, his incorrupt heart came to our parish, and that was attended by almost like 2,000 people.
Wow.
And showed up. And then after that confession, Bob, over 1,000 people. Boy, we were here for hours.
I'll bet.
I tell you what, it was a very, very blessed day, and we obtained some of his relics. So I just got back from ours. And the rector there gave us a nice gift.
The ours, huh? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you should have expected a long line for confession when you have St. John Vianney there.
Oh, my Lord. Yes. Bob, I thought four and a half to five hours inside. And people will literally bring us water, and then it's time to, you know, we have 18 priests.
Yeah.
And one priest got out of the confession. He thought he's the only priest listening to confession.
Oh.
And then my director said, "Go back, Father. There's 18 of you."
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. So, and anyway, this is all exciting. So I'd like to invite everyone to come and see. And but first, please attend Mass first.
Yes.
And then after that, I will be joining them in the exhibit.
So after the November 1st, that's Friday.
November 1st, we have two masses, of course, 8:30 a.m. and 6:30, and we'll only be open after those two masses on Friday, because we close it for our Eucharistic adoration.
Right, and then Saturday and Sunday all day.
All day, 8:30 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Very good. And it's St. Clair's in Roseville.
St. Clair, 1950 Junction Boulevard.
Right.
Check our website. It's a beautiful church.
Yeah, I've been there a few times, and I think you need golf carts in the parking lot to transport
people. Yeah, we're growing. We're growing in numbers. Though we have a different problem here. We're running out of parking space.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I've ever seen a parking lot that big, and I know you're running out of space.
Yes, it's a good thing, and I'm very grateful for the people of God and the support that the priests get.
Yeah, it's a
wonderful in our community.
Wonderful parish.
Wonderful, wonderful parishioners that love in love with the Lord, with Our Lady.
It is a wonderful parish. Father, thanks so much for all you do, and thanks for putting the. I know this was a lot of work, I'm sure.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's exciting, and we don't even know if we'll be able to finish because we're still unpacking some of the boxes.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful treasure that we all have to share.
Very good. Well, I'm sure you're going to have a mob. And
all right.
Thanks, Father. God bless.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Please help promote, and we'll be here to welcome all the guests.
Very good. Thank you, Father.
God bless. Thank
you. God bless you, too. That's Father George Snyder, the pastor of St. Clair Parish, 1950 Junction Boulevard in Roseville. Again, after All Saints Day Mass this coming Friday, November 1st, 8:30 a.m. Mass and 6:30 p.m. Mass, and then all day Saturday and Sunday, 8:30 to 9 p.m. We'll take a break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
This is Yasmin Castellanos from the Catholic School Department, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Yasmin, and thank you for all you do here in the Diocese of Sacramento. An Eastern European dinner and bake sale at St. Philip the Apostle Parish here in Sacramento. A Eastern European Christmas, November the 9th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., featuring all of your favorite Slavic crafts and foods, from icons and resurrection eggs to chicken papikrash, over homemade noodles, stuffed cabbage, kielbasa, much, much more. You're invited to join them. You can dine there or you can take home. There are a lot of options available. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful event. Saturday, November 9, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Some great baked goods as well, all at St. Philip the Apostle Church. It's St. Philip the Apostle Byzantine Catholic Church. Free admission and parking. It's at 3866 65th Street. For those familiar, it's right across the street from Hiram Johnson High School. Again, 3866 65th Street, St. Philip the Apostle Byzantine Catholic Church. Hot buffet and baked goods, Saturday, November 9, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Well, we go up the valley to the great city of Chico, and we're joined by Richard Cervani. Richard, good day to you.
Hey, Bob. How you doing, brother?
What are you doing in Chico?
I've got a second office at our Newman Center in Chico.
Beautiful Newman Center, by the way.
Yeah. It's amazing. So I get to hang out here for a couple days a week. While I'm traveling this part of the diocese, and when I'm up towards Shasta and Siskiyou, so I hang out in Redding. So,
it's a great part of the North State. It's Chico, of course. You've got thousands and thousands and thousands of Chico State students there.
Yeah, it's pretty great. The Newman Center, they have such great programming, and it's a great place where, you know, young adults are coming through here. They're getting leadership opportunities. They're growing in faith. I mean, it's pretty amazing the stuff that, you know, I get to stumble upon while I'm here in the building. So,
yeah, and it's just like two steps from campus.
Yeah, it's basically one block. So
yeah, it's right. You know. It's just right there, and it's like a beacon almost. You know, it's such an attractive building.
Yeah, it's a great center, really active in the community all together. So, they're doing a lot of good stuff here. So,
very good.
I get to be a part of it and get to hang out with kids here, and you know, it's good.
So, the Fired Up Confirmation Conference, 11th annual Confirmation Conference. The Red Bluff State Theater, you're using it so often. I think we need to, whatever it is you do, we need to make this a Catholic church.
it's right in the same, basically they borrow our parking lot. So
it's right by the parish there.
Yeah, so Sacred Heart Church and the State Theater, they butt in right on our parking lot. So we have a good relationship with them. It's good, so. Yeah, we might as well just consecrate the building.
Yeah, I think you need to consecrate it. No question about it.
And this is great because, you know, out of the 11 years, this will be our second year that we're hosting this conference in the North State. So truly in the North State, which is always exciting. And we've got a great a great lineup of, you know, speakers that are coming. You know, these are national speakers, Jackie Francois, we have Joe Melendez, and Mike Patan. So some great people that are going to be present. You know, I these are people that I look forward to going to down in, like, things like the L.A. Congress and, you know, in our ministry days and, you know, when they're anywhere in the North State. I mean, these are the guys that, that, you know, draw people. So it's neat to be able to put them in front of our youth and, you know, and get excited about this day. So, yeah, it's going to be exciting.
Sunday, November 17, from 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. You know, but if they let you consecrate the theater, you know what's going to happen next. They're going to make you serve popcorn at Mass.
Yeah.
Yeah, so,
all right.
So I don't know how that will work.
You know, I don't know how that's going to work either. So, but it's a great, it's going to be a great day. Bishop Soto is going to be with us. It's going to be nice. We'll have a beautiful Mass at 2 with all of our youth. So parishes can still register. We still have open registration. So if somebody, you know, hasn't ticked that box yet, that's happy and welcome to have everybody. So
how can people register?
Right now we're at about 300. So, you know, the building can hold 700. So we're still within capacity. So
how can people sign up?
There's a website. It's confirmationconference.com, mm-hmm. Or they can go to our diocesan website and go through youth ministry. But confirmation.com is our direct website, standalone, just to house the information. There's videos. There's content. You know. There's still dialogue amongst, you know, DOEs and just parents and, you know, the difference, this is a conference which is not a retreat. It is a requirement for this confirmation process for our youth, but it's not a retreat. You know, I know it feels like a retreat because we're going to Mass, we're, you know, we have this great encounter with you know, people and speakers, and we're encouraged in our faith, and a retreat is a different component, yeah, to that. So our confirmation requirements are a retreat for our youth and a confirmation conference. So this meets one of those requirements. The other thing I'm doing in the North State is I'm helping parishes host retreats, so places where, you know, they don't have enough staff or, you know, they maybe can't afford to bring in a team like Net Ministries or something like that. So I'm actually working with the Newman Center here in Chico. And so they have leadership, they have student leaders, and they do ministry here and on the campus at Chico University. So, we're essentially putting together a retreat team, and we can take that retreat team and go to parishes and put on confirmation retreats. So that's, you know, that's through my department in the North State.
Very good.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about some of the guests. Joe Melendez, a lot of people know him.
Yeah. So Joe, he's obviously a musician and an artist, you know, in that way. But what's great is he's also a teacher too. So which, you know, tickles my strings because, you know, I spent, you know, 18 years in the Catholic school department teaching.
Right.
So he's got theology, gets kids, he understands them because he's around them on a daily basis. So he understands that capacity, but he's absolutely, you know, engaging kids and with theological principles, and but, you know, through music and through his talents that God's given him. So he's really encouraging, upbeat. I mean, it really is a special, you know, a special ministry. So to be able to engage people, that's
and Mike Patton, of course, is also very well known.
Yep. He's, you know, he's been speaking to youth and with youth for a long, long time. You know, for a good, you know, decades. So you know, and he taught high school and was a coach, and, you know, out of the Archdiocese of New Orleans, as they would say. So he's still doing ministry. And then obviously Jackie Francois, is she's a singer, a songwriter, a worship leader. So she's coming with that. You know, that's absolutely a gift, and she's got some music out, and so she's going to come and sing and talk to our youth and hang out with them. So
and Nick Pierce will be there as well.
Actually, I think Nick Pierce had some conflict, so he won't be joining us in the North State. So it'll be the four. It'll be just the three. Our three speakers. So
very good.
Which is, you know, we're doubling up our numbers and the amount of people that we're bringing. So so it's good. So last year we had two speakers, and now we've got three in the North State.
Very good. Again, it is Sunday, November 17, 9:30 a.m.
Yep.
to 3 p.m. at the State Theater right there on Main Street. Well, it's actually Oak Street, 333 Oak Street, but the main drag in Red Bluff.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then, you know, we're doing all kinds of ministry in the North State. You know, in addition to that, last weekend we hosted a discernment retreat. We're titled Equip. So we're equipping youth ministers and people that were working with youth. So, you know, DREs and youth ministers alike and young adult leaders to discernment, and then giving them tools and hosting training. So this is a
And then Equip, it breaks down into small groups.
Yeah, so we've had a retreat. Now we're gonna start our sessions, our training sessions. So,
mm-hmm.
And these are small groups in each deanery and all throughout the diocese. I'll be hosting at least two deanery-wide sessions up here in Monroe. And we will basically gather together probably groups of 5 to 8 with the, you know, youth ministers, their core team. There's resources online that we're providing. We're asking them to go through and to do some, you know, a little bit of prep work, so homework, sort of like a seminar type of learning. So it's self motivated. So at your leisure, watch a couple of videos, read an article or two, and then come to this small group, and then we will facilitate a dialogue and a conversation around each topic. So. It's a great format, you know. So,
Richard, what's the goal of Equip?
The goal is to literally give youth ministers the tools they need to be able to speak to and do their role as a minister as they are called to, and also to discern that process, right? So, you know, sometimes, you know, God's got a great sense of humor. Sometimes we're dragged into ministry because somebody says, hey, I need a body here. And so we end up falling into a place, and then, you know, we want to make sure that people are equipped for that, right, that they have the gifts. So we don't just drag people into a ministry and then go, all right, you've got it. The Holy Spirit will take care of the rest.
That's right.
So, you know, we want to be working with the Holy Spirit and providing those resources for that youth minister, you know, so that it's effective and it's that they feel comfortable in their ministry as a leader. You know, I've been in that position, you know, it's like, well, I guess I'm doing youth ministry now.
Yeah.
And, you know, not having resources, not feeling like you've got, you know, anybody except the pastor going, you can do this, you know. So, you know, when you sort of self-learn and self-teach yourself in some capacity, you know, so we want to make sure that all of our youth ministry leaders are accompanied, that they're walking with people, they feel good about what they're doing, and that they grow in that, you know.
Very good. Very good. Richard, anything I didn't ask you about you want to share?
Oh, man. Just keep praying. Praying for the church. You know, I love to offer prayers for our church, and I spend a lot of time on the road traveling the North State, so I consume a lot of podcasts and different podcasts and different prayers, and I spend a lot of time praying the rosary on the road. And,
mm-hmm.
prayer is gonna change the world. That's for sure.
Amen. I think it's the unappreciated thing in the 21st century with all these problems we seem to have, is the power of prayer.
Yeah. One of the things I guess I'm really looking forward to is I've started reading Christus Vivit with Pope Francis's document, and I've been reading it, and we're going to be walking through this this resource with our leaders, and it's such a great perspective on the church and the young adult church today, especially when there's, you know, the dialogue amongst, you know, many of my colleagues on the nuns, you know, those that are walking out of the church and away from the church. You know, and some of it's not that they're walking away from a priest or a parish. They're just kind of falling away. And so they're falling away, and these are very talented youth. These are very talented young adults, and they have a passion for service. They have a passion. It's not like they're no longer religious. It's not that they're no longer, like, faithful people, right? We're just not engaging them in the right way. One of the projects I'm excited about working with here, Weston is the director here at the Newman Center, and he's looking at starting a podcast. Chico Newman. So we've done a preview of it. We've done a sampling. So we're gonna be working on putting Pope Francis's words into action, meeting with young adults, having conversations with them, and in a podcast format that literally speaking the language of this generation.
Wow,
which is really cool. So that's gonna be exciting. So.
Keep us focused. Keep us posted on the podcast and how it's coming along.
Yeah. I think the name we're sort of tossing around is Two Thought. So basically, two people coming down and having a conversation, and so between Wes and I, we're facilitating those conversations with students and young adults. So it's exciting work. So keep that in prayer. I know God's going to bless that and do a lot of good stuff with it. So.
Well, that's great. And you could the nice thing is you can listen to podcasts anywhere.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. And that's what I do. So, you know, if people are looking for information on the North State, they can find me in my sort of neck of the woods. I have an Instagram account and a Facebook account for the North State. So I sort of target information there. It's NorCal Revival on both Instagram and Facebook. So I post on that just about daily. And that's pictures of youth ministry, things that are happening in the North State, things that are coming up in the North State all the time. So I'm going to be doing a young adult talk here in Yuba City. They have a young adult ministry there called Two Crowns. And I just helped them get their, they had a Facebook page. I just helped them get their Instagram account up. It's twocrowns.ya. So I'm doing a talk on Monday there. So I'm going to bring some kids from some young adults from the North State down and do a talk. The topic is a theology of marvel with the last decade of Marvel Universe influencing our culture.
I like the topic.
We'll see if we can pull some strings and see, you know, what theological principles are maybe underlying in all of this. How do we read this through a religious lens?
That's very interesting.
It's going to be exciting. So, any young adults out there, if this gets posted before Monday the 28th, love to see you there.
Very good, Richard. Always a pleasure to talk with you and. Thanks for all the great work you're doing there in the North State.
Awesome. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. God bless you guys.
Hey, God bless you too, Richard. Greatly appreciated. Richard Cervini from the North State. He's headquartered in Reading, but was in Chico at the Newman Center at Chico State University. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
This is Bishop William K. Wiegand, the Bishop Emeritus of Sacramento, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Denning.
Thank you, Bishop Wiegand, for that wonderful introduction and for all you have done and continue to do for our great church here in the Diocese of Sacramento and the Universal Church. He's still revered in the state of Utah. You mention Bishop Wiegand in the state of Utah, and they just all brighten up.
I didn't know he had that history in Utah.
Yes, he was the bishop. That was his first assignment as a bishop, was in the entire state of Utah, the Diocese of Salt Lake City, but it covers the whole state.
Wow.
Lindsay West joins. If you wonder who's that voice? Who's talking?
It's not a voice of an angel.
Yes. Lindsay West has joined us. She's been gone.
I have. It's good to be back.
You were not AWOL, though. It was absent with leave.
Yes.
So that's just AWL, I guess.
Yeah, having a baby.
And what were you doing while you were gone?
I gave birth to our second child, our daughter, Evelyn. And then
I just saw the picture. If you get real close to your radio, you can see the picture. She's holding it up to the microphone now.
Yeah,
what a cutie.
Yeah, well, I know I'm biased, but I would agree with you. Yeah, she's adorable. And so it's been a lot of fun being able to be home and spend time with her and see her bonding with our son and, see him be this big brother now and also kind of...
Your son is fine. He's fine with it.
Well, so he has been wanting a sibling for like years. He's been asking since he was like three, when do I get a sibling? And he's been very excited, especially for a sister. Mm-hmm. And, we tried to kind of warn him, she's not going to be ready. She doesn't come out ready to play with you. it takes some time. And he's like, yeah, no, I know. And she cries a lot, especially in the beginning. Yeah, I know. And so we kind of tried to prepare him. I think some of the reality sinking in a little bit, some of the newness is worn off. But it's great because he's old enough that, the whole not getting as much attention thing.
Right.
He's old enough to understand, she needs our attention. So he doesn't get mad at her. He just kind of like gets mad at us for not giving the attention.
But plus he can give her some attention too.
He's the best with the pacifier. Yeah. You need a pacifier, he will go and get it for you. Yeah. The other night we jokingly we were sitting around at the dinner table, and you could clearly hear that she was going to need a diaper change pretty quickly. And it was going to be a messy one. We jokingly did the nose goes, and he doesn't know that yet, so he didn't touch his nose. And we're like, "Oh, Jack, it's time for you to go change Evie's diaper." And he's like, "Okay." And we're like, "No, bud, you can help us, but we wouldn't expect you. You know, he's not quite six yet, so we wouldn't expect you to do the whole thing by yourself." So
that's great. No, you know, it's just amazing how the bigger ones relate to the little ones.
Yeah,
and it's fun to watch the family dynamics.
Yeah, well, and I don't know if you saw this with your kids, but our daughter just loves him. I mean, like from the moment we brought her home, like he would walk in the room and start talking, and she would look for you know where the voice was. And
completely,
I can be getting smiles and talking with her and babbling with her, but the second he comes into view, oh, forget it. He's getting the best smiles from her, so which is so sweet.
I'm not sure. I did definitely notice that, and I don't know why that is, but when maybe it's just because they're not so big or something.
Maybe
you know, they're just but they're. They change your life. They're gifts from God. There's no question about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. How exciting.
Yeah.
I'm jealous. In a good way.
I can bring you by sometime. You can do some baby snuggles, you know.
Yeah.
Get that. Well, she's kind of already losing the new baby spell.
Yeah.
You know, because she's almost 3 months now. So, but, you know, as one of my sister-in-laws would always say, like, you know, got to get hit of that new baby smell.
Yeah. My mom told us we had five in our family, and my mom said, you know, with the first one, you're like, you're just, anything goes wrong. You know, if they get a little sniffle, anything, you're like panicked. You call the doctor and everything. She said, by the fifth one, you just hope they don't throw up on the rug.
Here's a bucket, kid.
Take care of yourself. But, and there's no manual.
No.
Absolutely. You know, the best manual, when my wife was pregnant with our first, gave her this big, thick, it's like, it's paperback, but it's one of those big, thick, you know, like 8.5 by 11. And it took you through every single day of pregnancy.
Oh, my.
And it said, you know, like, today, your baby is starting to look at her right finger. You know, I mean, you know, it was every single day, because... And you think, well, you can't be very much changed in one day.
Yeah.
But there's only 266 days to begin with, and you just start. So it's all got to happen from two cells to a full-grown baby in a very short period of time. So
it's true.
Something dramatic does happen every day.
Well, you know, now they have an app, or they have a couple different apps where you can keep track of. It doesn't quite go daily. It's more like by week. This week, your baby is probably doing this in the womb or whatnot. But now they have apps for it, which is a lot probably easier to reference than that big book. But once they're out, there is no manual.
It was. Yeah, that's right. There's nothing.
Yeah.
You know, Dr. Spock is not with us anymore.
But, you know, we figure it out. And, you know, like you said, especially I feel like when you when it's not your first, right, you're kind of like, I don't have time to be quite so hyper-focused on like, oh, there was a sneeze. Is that okay? So,
Well, she's a beautiful baby.
Thank you.
And looks very, very happy.
Yeah. Thankfully, she's a super sweet, happy baby. So
they can't fake their smiles.
No. And that's just the best feeling. Like, so I just came back this week from maternity leave, and you know, trying to get caught up. Feel a little bit like trying to take a sip of water from a fire hydrant.
Yeah.
But love this work and the people we work with. And when I went to go get her from daycare, you know, got that genuine smile, and it was like, oh, that's just the best.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway, I got to stop gushing about the baby.
No,
I mean,
you know, people need to gush about their babies. You don't know. You know, you walk into 7-Eleven with for some reason, and there's six teenagers in there, and you have this baby with you, and they're watching you.
Yeah.
And if they see that baby, it just lights you up.
Yeah.
It registers. Yeah, or if they see that you're, or you left the baby in the car. You know, I mean, like they go, oh, man, that baby's a drag on her life.
That's true.
It's really, there's a tremendous amount of subtle role modeling that goes on that you don't even realize when you're a parent of a newborn.
Yeah.
Because everybody's watching.
Well, yeah, and there's this thing now about, like, you know, kind of the complaint about, like, I think a lot of the way, there's, how do I say this? I totally get venting about, like, exhaustion and, like, it's not easy to raise a child.
Right.
But, yeah, you're right about that modeling. Like, are we constantly talking about children like they're a burden? Or, is it like, this is hard but awesome, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to the store and saying, oh, this is such a...
Right.
And it gets easier. I've got four teenagers, and they're just a breeze. You know?
Teenagers, really? I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that.
They are. They're a joy.
Well, yes.
A complete joy. But I remember I was when we had 3, 2, 1, and a newborn.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the Catholic way.
Exactly, huh?
And I was in the store with all four of them. I had a double stroller, and then well, this was in the grocery store, so I had two of them in the actual basket.
Okay.
And then I had one in where you can put one child, you know, with their feet comes.
Okay.
And then I had one in the Bjorn.
Oh,
the
okay.
baby Bjorn that you wear in your chest. So I had four of them. And we're just going, you know, just the cereal's all out of reach. You know, only the 3-year-old cared. You know, the rest of them, we had the 1-year-old just, she'd pick somebody out and she'd smile at them.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she knew
that
she was going to get the smile back, you know. She'd look around, oh, I'll smile at that lady.
Yeah.
You know? And this one woman came up to me. I mean, we're in the cereal aisle or something. She goes, you have four. Like, I mean, it was like that. And she said, I left my husband and I, we just had our first baby, and it's driving us crazy. You know, and it was like... And she didn't even have the baby with her at the store. She left it with her husband,
of course,
which is fine. But it was like, and I thought to myself at that moment, you know, that because I love to take the kids to the store because they're learning, you know, they're looking at stuff. But it occurred to me that how much you are a role model, just when you're out with an infant.
Well, yeah, and how great to model that, like, hey, this is your first, you're going to be okay. Like, I have four, we're fine. Like, you can do this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so. That's good.
Yeah. And they grow up.
They do, mm-hmm. Yeah. With my son, when he finally hit, like, this certain stage, he would kind of also, we always joked he was flirting with everybody when he'd flash his smiles.
Yeah.
And he has incredible eyelashes from the moment he was born. There's barely been a day that has gone by that somebody hasn't remarked on his eyelashes that's never met him before. And now it's fun kind of seeing, you know, our daughter get to that point where she's just kind of flashing smiles to people. And, yeah, I mean, not quite as much with just random strangers because she's not quite 3 months yet. But, you know, and it's fun, too, just seeing how, like, different they develop and, you know, the similarities, but also just – they're each their own unique person, right?
Yeah, I mean, you think you're raising your kids the same, and they all end up completely different.
Yeah.
And right down to what they'll eat and what they won't eat.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, our youngest, who's 14, a boy, he's the only boy, the other three are girls, you know. He's lived his whole life on maple bars, I swear. You know, it's like
the donut maple bars?
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I'm going, I mean, those are delicious, but, you know, it's like.
That's funny.
And you know, he's not overweight.
Yeah.
He's a great athlete. You know,
he's your baseball player, right?
Yeah, he's smart as a whip. He's all those things you try, you know, you say, eat your peas, eat your beans, eat your...
Yeah,
and
your
just
veggies,
look,
yeah.
He just looks at it. If it's green, he's not eating it, you know? And can I have a maple bar? You know, it's like...
Oh, my gosh.
And yet, you know, he's got hands and fingers and arms and eyes and a brain. And it doesn't matter what you put in there at all. You still end up like a human being. It's comical.
Yeah. Well, thank goodness for that he hasn't grown like a maple bar out of his head or something.
Yeah. You figure, I mean, if he ate that many maple bars, he would turn into a maple bar.
We've made that joke with our son about, like, you know, because he loves blueberries. I'm like, you can turn into a blueberry.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, like, he's such a concrete, literal thinker. He does not like when we joke like that. So we've had to stop. But yes.
He
hasn't seen Willy Wonka yet either with Violet, when she turns into the blueberry. So I think that might be traumatic. You'd be like, what? You really can turn into a blueberry?
You really can, yeah.
No.
Yeah, some of your kids instantly know when you're joking and kidding them. And some, we have one that just, it's like everything's, really?
Aww.
You know, the really?
Yeah.
And she's like 17 now.
Oh. <It's> like,
so sometimes now she'll go, oh, I get it, you know, like that. So.
Oh,
just, they're all different.
They're awesome.
Which charms you.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. So back to work. Where are you
okay. Yeah.
On?
Sorry. So yeah. So we have.
We've only got about 30 seconds left now.
Fired Up. Come.
This is the baby
end.
Show.
Yeah. No. So yes, we have Fired Up, and you know, we have the one in Red Bluff coming up.
Yeah, we just
November.
Talked with Richard Trevaney.
Yeah. So he probably covered that. So I won't rehash that. But a lot of our same great speakers from the Red Bluff one are going to be down in Sacramento, February 1st and 2nd. And then we have
that will be where.
It's going to be at Christian Brothers this year. Mm-hmm. Registration's ongoing. Actually, our Saturday is already full. So if you're hoping to go to Sacramento and you haven't registered yet, you sign up for Sunday before that gets full.
Because
the next opportunity that you'll have to go will be February 16th in Vallejo at St. Patrick St. Vincent High School.
Okay.
And we're anticipating that one has a good chance of selling out too. And it's mostly just a space restriction kind of thing.
Right.
So we have Joe Melendrez, Mike Patan, Jackie Francois Angel, are going to be in Sacramento as well for both dates. And then in Vallejo, February 16th. Unfortunately, that lineup of speakers, they were not available. There's something going on February 16th somewhere in the nation. I don't know where, but because we try to get national people to come in to make this like a really amazing, powerful conference.
Right.
For our teens. And so we have Connor Flanagan, and we have Noel Garcia, and then we have baby brain exhaustion. Father Mark Weisner is coming. Okay. So it's going to be another awesome event. And that one is starting to get full too. So that's why I say don't wait. Plus, the prices will increase to try and encourage, you know, because we have things we have to order. And if we have to rush, all that kind of stuff. The prices go up for Sacramento and Vallejo registration on November 18th. And then the last day to register for Sacramento and Vallejo is December 2nd. So don't wait.
All right.
and if people need to make adjustments to numbers afterwards, you know, we have a little bit of wiggle room for that, but in order to, you know, order enough stuff, that's when we need people to kind of get it in.
Very
but it's going to be awesome.
Lindsay, I hear a child's voice. I think we're flat out of time. Is what it really is.
Gotcha. Well, it's good to be back. Thanks for
having
me back on.
Very good to have you back. And congratulations
Thank
to you,
you
and your husband and your son.
Thank you.
Yeah. And congratulations to the world. We're all excited. We got another inhabitant of the planet.
It would be awesome to see what she does in the world. So.
Oh, she'll do something awesome for sure. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless.
Sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder